Well, when Karen Peterson was preparing to go on her pilgrimage along the Camino, she made, with her husband Mark, all the preparations she thought necessary. They went on to online forums to find out about the trail, the things they ought to bring. They went to the most expensive hiking store and they bought top-of-the-line gear. And she and her husband, Mark, went on practice hikes to get ready. She had everything under control. She was ready. But her pilgrimage, almost from day one, was not the journey she expected. She developed blisters on the first day, and when you're walking 14 to 20 kilometers a day, a small blister very quickly develops into a large one. And she found almost from the very beginning that she couldn't walk more than a kilometer or two or three each day before she had to stick out her thumb and hitch a ride to the next destination and wait for her son and her husband to meet her there hours later. It was not the journey that she had planned for. It was not the Camino she wanted. And life's like that, right? Life is like that. We plan and we organize as best as we can. We try to get things under control. We check our hearts. We make sure that we're heading spiritually in the right direction, and yet still there are blisters that come our way. The cancer diagnosis, the job loss, the unexpected death, the crippling depression, the wayward child. While Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, he got a question about blisters. Specifically, his listeners wanted him to explain. They wanted him to explain Pilate's grisly murder of some unfortunate Galileans who had been on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And their implied but unstated question to Jesus was this: did these Galileans deserve this? Was God punishing them for something? Was he trying to teach them a lesson? And behind those questions, I think, is a very familiar human impulse to ask why, right? To try and make sense of the world when bad things happen. It's a point of view that says that there is always a reason for human suffering. And if there's no obvious reason, then it's likely because that person did something to deserve it. The way of the world is about rewards and punishment. If you do good, God will take care of you. And if you do bad, then he will smite you. Well, Jesus answers their implied questions head on, and he says that those poor Galileans who suffered, they were, well, he said, they are no worse than the rest of you lot. And then he adds an example of his own. Did you hear it? He said, do you remember that Tower of Siloam that collapsed and killed 18 people? Do you think they deserved that? No. They were no worse sinners than anybody else in Jerusalem. Now, of course, there are times when we are the source of our own suffering, so if you get behind the wheel of a car and you are drunk and you plow your car into a tree and you're paralyzed as a result, you know, you don't have to look very far for the cause. But we're talking here about the kind of incomprehensible suffering that comes our way that leaves us thinking, why? Why was my son the one who was hit crossing the road? Why did I end up contracting this rare and fatal disease? Why me? What Jesus was telling his listeners, you know, tragedy, it's not automatically punishment. Terrible things happen, and you're not to blame. Sometimes there is no explanation when bad things happen. Which is good news, right? It's good news because then it can relieve us from false guilt, like the kind one poor woman was experiencing as her young daughter was undergoing emergency surgery because they had found a tumor on her optical nerve. And her pastor, Barbara Brown Taylor, came in to sit with this mom, and the mom, you know, told her just how awful it was. And then she said, "And I know why my daughter has this tumor. It's my punishment," she said, "for smoking all those cigarettes. God couldn't get my attention any other way, so God made my baby sick." To this kind of false guilt and crippling despair, Jesus offers the good news. No, this is not your fault. This is not God's punishment or God's way of teaching you a lesson because you were a slow student. The burden of guilt is not yours to wear. And I think it's important to remind ourselves and loved ones who are going through difficult times, times of suffering, that God is with us in our suffering. That is part of the message of the cross. God so loved the world that he came and dwelt among us, and he took on our sufferings. He knew all our sorrows. So it's good news, but really only sort of. It's only sort of good news, because the flip side of the good news is scary. It means the world is not always predictable. We can't control things. Sometimes bad things are going to happen to us for no reason. You cannot prevent suffering just by being good. Having handed his listeners this good news, bad news message, Jesus then ends it with a warning. He said, "No, these Galileans and the victims of the tower collapse were no worse sinners than any of you, but unless you repent, you will all perish like they did." And I imagine at this point some of the husbands turned to their wives and said, "Honey, let's not invite Jesus home for tea afterwards." It's interesting to me what Jesus is doing here. Because although he rejected their explanations for this, the murder of the Galileans and for the, you know, the death of those under that tragic collapse, he asks them to stay with their fear. Isn't that interesting? He says, "Stay with your vulnerability." That is actually a good thing. That's a good thing. He knows that as they lay in bed at night, probably they were thinking about that tragedy. And they were starting to examine and wonder about their own lives, and they began to wonder what they needed to do to make things right, to avoid the same fate. What did they need to do to turn their lives around? And it's that feeling of need that Jesus asks them to stay with, to hold on to, because fear can be an opportunity, right? Fear can actually be an opportunity to motivate us to make needed change in our lives. Pastor Barbara Brown Taylor said that torn place that opened it up inside Jesus' listeners that day was actually a kind of holy place. And he was inviting them to look around in their lives while they were there, to pay attention to what they were feeling. And as they searched their own hearts for sin, that search was the opportunity for them to discover their real need, their need for God's forgiveness, their need for God's mercy, their need for God's grace. We are at the turning Sunday in Lent. This is Sunday 3 in 6 Sundays of Lent. And part of the point of our Lenten pilgrimage is to prepare us for the cross. Throughout Lent, as part of our disciplines, we're encouraged to find moments for self-examination, to examine our hearts, to consider our need for Jesus, so that when we get to Good Friday, we are able to truly receive the cross as good news. Sometimes people question me about this Lenten practice of repentance and penance and confession, and they'll say to me, "Isn't this just what the Catholics do?" And the answer is no. It's for every believer. It's why we have the prayer of general confession every week, because our hearts need that constant refreshing that comes when we confess our wrongs and we receive God's forgiveness and God's grace. The thing about sin is it can be a little bit like a callus. You know how calluses, when you get them on your skin, you kind of lose feeling underneath? Sin can be like that. And confession is like taking a scrub brush and scrubbing off those calluses and making our hearts soft to God so that our consciences can hear God's invitation to turn away from sin and to turn to Jesus and to live in ways and live and walk in the ways of Jesus, in the ways that bring life to ourselves and light to our community. So taking a clear-eyed look at ourselves from time to time is kind of like buffing away the callus of sin in our hearts. And because Jesus called his listeners to repent, and that's our gospel reading for today, we are going to take a moment now to heed Jesus' call to repent and to return to the Lord. Because there is never a wrong time to turn anew to him. And I'm sure you noticed this morning that our beautiful cross is marred by all those words, right? Those are just some of the sins that describe our need as we come to Jesus. Pride, impatience, cruelty, hatred. As you came in, you all received a purple sheet. Well, you didn't. If you didn't, use your bulletin. All of us could add our own sins, our own needs, our own weaknesses. I'm not going to ask you to post them on the cross. What I am going to ask you to do is to take that paper, and if you have a pen or pencil, to write your confession. Don't sign this. This is between you and God, and we're keeping the confessions, people's confession, and at the end of all the services, we're going to shred them. But this, we're going to ask in a time of quiet for you to have a time of prayer and confession to God. At the end of that time, we're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of hymn number 615, Just As I Am. And then we're going to close that time with the general prayer of confession. And during communion, I invite you to bring up your prayers and to lay them at the foot of the cross. Karen Peterson, as she sat with her poor blistered feet in Tria Castella, which is a little town on the Camino, she noticed that in the wall of one of the churches there was this door, and it said, over the lintel of the door, it said, Puerta de Perdón, the door of forgiveness. And the door is built into the wall of churches along that route to remind pilgrims along the way that there is never a wrong time to confess our need for God, to confess our sins to him, to turn afresh to Jesus. God is always inviting us to step through the door of forgiveness and to receive the comfort of his mercy and grace. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Loving Lord God, we heard again the story of your son's time with those people who wanted to know about the sufferings that they were seeing in their community. And Jesus' affirmation that these people had done nothing wrong, but that all of us should take that, these moments of suffering and of weakness, as an opportunity to turn afresh to you. And so, Father, in this time of quiet, as Gloria plays, we will be confessing our need for you, our sins. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and that we would receive, experience your forgiveness and your mercy and your grace to strengthen us. for the journey. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.